go ahead and we'll pray and then we'll get in the lesson. Father, we bless you as we enter into another day of training school. We ask you to give us understanding, and we acknowledge you in all that you do. We just bless you for the wisdom that you've given us, and we look forward to the days to come when our Savior will return. And we bless you for him. We thank you for your Spirit that deals with us in every facet of our lives. We glorify you again in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. All righty. We dealt with Matthew 13 and 14 on last week, but last week and week before last. But I want to go to Mark chapter 4, which is really how can I put it? Well, it's kind of the same as Matthew chapter 13. And there are some things that I want to look at in Mark chapter 4, because it even helps us with an even clearer understanding of Mark, of Matthew chapter 13. And so we'll start at verse 1, Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And again, this is parallel to Matthew chapter 13. You'll see it as we go on. But there are some things in here that we'll take a look at that will make sense, or will give a clearer understanding of passages that we've looked at, and we've never looked at it in detail to see why these scriptures are said, you know, why these scriptures say that. And I mean, there are even things that we have, or maybe, you know, we'll quote at different times and things like that. Well, we want to put the scriptures in its right places to understand why these things are said. And I think Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4 is a good lesson to look at to see this as an example. Okay. Mark 4 verse 1 says, "And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the ship, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables." And we know parables to be similitudes, comparisons, and so... So when you hear parables, that's what that's referring to, okay? Similitudes, comparisons, proverbs. Then it says, and said unto them, it's just some things. It's really y'all stop me, and so I have to do it the way that he's leading me to do it. I'm just trying to see. I think it's in Deuteronomy 28. Before I have you go there, I want to be able to find it first, because it's all about understanding and stuff. And so I'm glad that, you know, we don't have to be in no hurry and stuff to do certain things and stuff like that. So. Just bear with me. Yes, Deuteronomy 28. We'll go to Deuteronomy 28, and then I want to come back, because I want to tie something together, or at least the Spirit of Yah wants to tie something together here, and we'll look at it. But Deuteronomy 28, I'm trying to see. I guess to the. I will start at verse 36. Deuteronomy 28, verse 36, it says, Yehovah shall bring thee. You know, it's when Moses is speaking to our nation about what would happen to us if we operate in disobedience from his law, statutes, and judgments. So you can go back up to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 through 14, and you can see all of the things that happen to us in a positive way, the blessings that happens to us from obeying Yah's commandments, according to verse, I believe it's verse 1. Verse 1, it says, "And it shall come to pass if thou hearken diligently unto the voice of Jehovah thy Yah, to observe to do all his commandments which I command in this day, that Jehovah thy Yah will sit thee on high above all nations of the earth." And then it says, "All these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake thee." So that's verse 1 through 14. Well, you see that, well, verse 15, he says, "But it shall come to pass that thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah thy Yah, to observe and do all these commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day." That all these curses are sentences. He makes us villains, okay? He said all these villains are, all these curses are classified as villain or vilification. Should come on thee and overtake thee. But I want to skip down to the verse 36 now, because this is one of them. Verse 36 says, "And Jehovah shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt sit over thee, unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shall thou serve other gods, wood and stone." Verse 37 is where I want to be. Verse 37 said, "And thou shalt become an astonishment." Shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations. Well, this word proverb here is when you deal with proverbs and byword, but mainly proverb. The word proverb is the same way as a parable. And so when you look at it from what he was saying to concerning our nation, he said, verse 37 again, "And thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb," okay, a proverb, which is a parable. And so as we look at it, because it says a simile, or when you get on the New Testament, it says comparison, similitude. So it's from the same perspective. So when you look at our nation, there are certain things that he even say concerning our nation where it distinguishes us. We'll be able to look at these vilifications and be able to see them as similitudes to show who we really are. So you can get people that will make claims about of being the nation of Israel, but when you look at the similitudes, the parables, the proverbs, the bywords, when you look at the curses, when you start to look at these vilifications and things like that, they are similitudes, they're parables, okay? You'll be an astonishment, a parable, a byword among all nations. So I can look at groups of people and look at these parables, these bywords, these proverbs, these bywords, and things like that, to be able to understand it. So when you get over the New Testament, that's why he just stopped me and he was like, "Okay, I want them to understand, you know, what these parables are, even from a perspective of the Old Testament." Okay, and so they're similitudes, and so as a nation, when you read it from that perspective, when you look at verse 37, it says, "And thou shalt become an astonishment and a similitude," okay, a similitude, a proverb, "and a byword among all nations, whether Jehovah shall lead thee," okay, a similitude. And when you look at that similitude, you start dealing with all the things that's going on from verse 15 to 68, that is the similitude. when you associate the similitude to the treatment, you skip down to verse 46, for example. It says, and they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy feet forever. And so, you know, evidence and things like that. And so all these things are from that perspective. So when we get back over in the New Testament and we start to, again, look at Mark chapter 4, we see the connection to that word from a perspective of the Old Testament. So in the Old Testament, they may would call it a byword, but in the New Testament, they're calling it a parable. It has the same root meaning when you start to uncover the layers for understanding. Okay? Now, again, verse 1 says, and he began, Mark 4, verse 1 now says, verse 2, we dealt with verse 1. It said, he taught them many things by parable, similitude, comparison, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, thou went a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside. Now, this is just remember these. We dealt with it in detail in Matthew chapter 13, so I don't want to do that today. Okay? So we'll just read it. And it came to pass, but keep it in mind, because there are some things at the end we're going to discuss and tie these sayings together. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up and sprang up because it had no depth of earth. Verse 6, but when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Verse 7 says, some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Verse 8, and others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. Okay? And Psalm 100. Okay. Now, verse 9 said, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, y'all know what that means. It means, like, oh, he dealt with the ears to hear and the things like that. He that hath ears from a perspective of the physical ears, you know, to hear, you know, let him walk in understanding. That's the bottom line. And verse 10 said, when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked him the parable, asked him the similitude. What is the similitude? Okay. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of Yah, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. Remember, as we dealt with these, is that seeing with the physical, they may see. They may see and not perceive. And so he's saying it here. And hearing, they may hear and not understand. So when we interpret it in Matthew chapter 13, he is breaking it down. It's being broken down in Mark chapter 4 to confirm what we dealt with in Matthew chapter 13. Because we talked about hearing, and we talked about a perception and understanding. So in this particular book, it lets us know that is exactly what it's saying, that the seeing is in reference to perception, and also in reference, the hearing is in reference to understanding. Verse 12 again said that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. And so the way that I interpret it from this perspective, that seeing with the sight, they may see. In other words, you know, they may look. Seeing with the sight, are looking. They may see with their sight, but they don't have perception. So you get a lot of people, you know, even the examples that we use as far as, you know, a person can look at something but not perceive what they're looking at. There have been times when I've been, you know, been driving down the road and something was in the road. I could see it, but I had no perception of what it was until I ran over it. You know, put a hole in the tire, you know, just because we see things don't mean that we perceive it. And just because we hear things don't mean that we understand what we're hearing. I've heard lots of noise, and, you know, you hear people be like, what's that? You hear the sound. We hear the sound, but we don't understand what that sound is, okay? So it's from that perspective. Now, verse 13 says, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? That's why I wanted to come back and cover it from Mark chapter 4. Know ye not this parable? How then will ye know all parables? Because when we start to deal with parables, this parable is kind of like the foundation for understanding other parables that's being dealt with. So once we start to know this parable, once we understand this parable, then everything else will tie into that same understanding. So everything we read, once we learn what this mystery of the kingdom behind this parable is, although we've discussed it, we know it, but I want to from that now tie in all other parables to this foundational parable. That's why he says this now, verse 13, and he said unto them, know ye not this parable? This parable that we've just covered, he said then, how then will ye know all parables? So once we understand this parable, I can't say it's enough, I have to pound it in. Once we understand this parable, every parable should be understood that we look at from that standpoint, from this point on, because this is the parable by which all of them can be understood. Now, verse 14 says, soweth the word. So with that understanding, we now know that anything that we hear from this point on has to be in reference to what? Anything, well, let me back up and help you a little bit more to give you enough information. Anything that we hear, anything that we hear in reference to sowing, did I say that?
No.
Okay. Y'all help me, you know. Anything that we hear in reference to sowing, what should we understand? From verse 14. Anytime you hear sowing as a parable, what should you understand?
It's about the word.
It's about the word. Because he lets us know. There is a perspective. I understand where you're going. You just kind of head up the lesson. But I want you to slow down and look at it. So it says, the sower soweth what? Verse 14, the word. So now anything that we hear from a perspective of sowing, we don't run there and start thinking money. We don't run there and start thinking other things from a perspective of understanding the kingdom. The sower is a word foundation. So, be not deceived. You know, Yah is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. All these scriptures now start to come into the foundation of parables now. It could reference other things, but at the same time, we know the foundation is word-based. When we deal with kingdom, it is word-based. It is the word is the foundation. I'll say that one. Okay? And so we can wrap other things around it, but if we can't bring the point home with that foundation, we're not interpreting it right. The interpretation is not right. Okay? So again, the sower the word, and we'll look at some things dealing with these parables, and we'll move around if y'all leads us to do that. Now, the sower the word, and these are they by the wayside what a word is sown. But when they have heard Satan, remember, as you go back up now and you look at it, he used a parable, but what does he call Satan now? In the parable, when you go back up, he says, fowls of the air came and devoured it. What's Satan doing? Principalities, powers, rules of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places, the heavenly. So when he uses that parable as a similitude to give us a picture of some things that are going on as far as the adversary is concerned. Because when you look at it, as we get verse 15, it says, these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard Satan, now when you look at Satan, define the word Satan, it can be the devil. But at the same time, it's the accuser. We know he's the source behind the accusing and things like that, but it lets us know who, you know, you can go back and look in the Old Testament, it also calls him the adversary. Okay? Anybody can be a Satan. That's why our Savior, when he rebuked Peter, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because his mind, anybody whose mindset is not kingdom, can be a Satan. They can be an adversary. They can be an accuser. Okay? And as you start dealing with words and getting down to the root of these things, it is from a perspective of how their actions are, how they work. And so, you know, again, you had Peter thinking that he was doing something sincere. He was actually coming across trying to express the love that he had for our Savior, but at the same time, because he was not kingdom minded, our Savior said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." You know, so when you look at it from that standpoint, anybody can be a Satan. Yeah, we know there's a sword behind it, but at the same time, anybody that becomes an accuser or someone that is the opposite from the kingdom, they are adversary, a Satan. Obviously, it talks about the devil himself, but Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word which was sown in our heart. I mean, you get people sometimes that be saying, "Oh man, I don't believe that stuff. Man, y'all, you talking about y'all the children of Israel, you know, the Bible, man, I don't believe that stuff." Well, that's a Satan. And so we have to understand, because Satan or the accuser's main objective is to devour that which is sown in the mind. Anybody that's trying to destroy what's going on in the mindset from how God deals with us can be classified as faith. Faith. So Satan come immediately and taking away the word that was sown in their heart, their mental disposition. These are they likewise which are sown among thorny ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and endure but for a time afterwards when affliction, persecution arises for the word's sake. So why do these things come? Why does trouble come? Look at the verse. Why does trouble come? Verse 17. What is trouble for the word? You have to understand, ain't nobody saying about you. Because we ain't nothing without y'all dealing with our minds. So the enemy has no interest in us per se. It is what we are capable of, what he has concerns about. So when all these persecutions arise, it's not attacking you or me. It is coming after something that we have sown in our mental disposition. It is designed to get us off track from the Most High. So whenever a person attacks you, whenever that thing is going on, for whatever reason or another, you have to understand that you have something that Satan wants, an adversary wants. And so the persecution and tribulation come to as the scripture says, let the scripture tell us. Verse 17, they have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction, tribulation, persecution, okay, arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. Apostasy. Apostasy means they turn from it. They turn from that word. They stop walking in that truth that they've heard. And so you have to understand that things will happen to you in life because you're growing as the ground that received that seed. You think that you're going to be a part of the kingdom and be taught the word of Yah, and there are things that's not going to happen to try to get us off track for whatever reason or another. When these things happen, we have to understand that there are things going on, and the enemy is attempting to cause us to abort that understanding, to leave that understanding. So, again, these things happen for the word's sake. Verse 18, and these are they which are sown among thorns. The word that's sown among thorns, search and hear the word, or the ground that's sown, the word that's sown among ground that has thorns, I'll say it with. Such as hear the word. And the cares of this world, okay, the cares of this world, life in general, the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, you know, jobs and having things and all this here, in the end, and the lust of other things, okay, whatever those things may be, those things that are desired, when you look at the lust, those things that are desired, longing for, can be things that's forbidden and stuff like that. So the lust of other things enter in, choke the word, and they become unfruitful. Okay, all these will for me, what I'm saying, I'm going to spend a whole lot of time on verse 20. And these are they which are sown among good ground, such as hear the word and receive it. Notice it shows categories. You don't just bring forth 30, 60, and 100 because you hear it. Okay, I have taught a lot of lessons where a person heard it, where we left out of here understanding. We don't bring forth the 30 and 60 and 100 because you say, okay, yeah, preacher, I got it, I really got it, I really understand it. And I say, okay, tell me what I said, and you're able to give me the information back to let me know you clearly understand it. That don't bring forth fruit. Understanding alone don't bring forth fruit. That's like faith without works. You can have faith, but there are no works with it. The Bible says faith without works is dead. It doesn't produce anything. So as we look at the 30 and 60 and 100 fold, verse 20 lets us know the process. And these are they that are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, okay, understand, okay, understand, and receive it, okay, and receive it. I can understand something, but I may not accept it. You know, but I'm going to mess with Alan now. I understood that he finally off in getting the internet at higher, faster speed and stuff like that. I understood that my internet was slow as heck, but I had to receive it to do something about it. So he used to break it down. Look at him, man. I be at home and my stuff be running real fast. I come over here and it's like I step back in time. Come on, let's get some faster stuff. This technology stuff going on. I understood all that. But I didn't get no soul from it. Because I had to receive it. Because if you don't receive it, the next stage is not going to take place. Once I receive what he said, Then I took my next step. I understood it. I was like, I understand. Internet is slow. Heck yeah, it's slow. It's dirt slow. I'd be sitting there patting my foot, and he'd be like, well, you know what to do. Yeah, I know. Leave it alone. Tell me for a minute now. You know what to do. You know what you need to do. Yeah, I know what I need to do. I understand what I need to do, son. I understand. But I wasn't receiving what I understood. They that hear the word understand is not good enough. You understanding what I'm saying is not good enough. You got to know the next thing. Receive. Receive means accept it. Admit it. Delight in it. You gotta receive it. You gotta accept it. There are some things that have to take place in order for us to get to the next stage, because you can understand it, or we can understand something all day long, and we don't become acceptance of what we don't have an acceptance of what we understand, then it don't bring us to the next phase of the bring forth what we understand. I understood the internet stuff for a long time. I just refused to accept it. And all the time I was refusing to accept it, making all the excuses. Man, I gotta change all this other stuff over. I gotta go in and change all my emails over. Man, I don't wanna deal with all, it's a lot of stuff I gotta go deal with. Once it all was changed over, they was like, you keep the same email. I was like, oh, so I ain't gotta change that over. I have to change that over. Such as hear, understand, receive, and we have to hear it, we have to receive it, and we have to do something about it. Hear, receive, and bring it forth. Y'all, you can sit here all day long and understand it. But nothing is going to change until you accept it enough to start making the changes according to how you have understood it. Understanding requires an acceptance for change, or an acceptance for bringing forth what you understand. You have to understand, we have to understand, we have to accept it, and then once we understand and accept it, it is going to burst forth what we understand and accept. Then we can start talking about the fold of it. And so each one of you have to take a self-examination and say, okay, we deal with a lot of stuff that brings about an understanding. You know, either pastor's talking about it, or elders talking about it. We're dealing with a lot of things whereby this ministry is designed, God has ordained us to bring forth understanding. Now, I have to position myself from understanding this and take to the next phase and say, I'm going to accept it. I can talk about that all day long, but if you don't accept it. I can talk about all these things. I just use the things as an example. I can talk about it all day long. Elder can talk about it all day long. And we can have understanding, be like, yeah, I get it, I understand. Wow, I understand it. But if we don't receive it. Receive it, then bring forth. Delight in it to bring forth. When we delight in it, something takes place. Bring forth, comma. Then we start talking about the fold. Psalm 30 fold, Psalm 60, and Psalm 100. Psalm 100, okay? Now we're looking at the fold by which we bring. Then he said, and he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel, under a bed? Is a candle, you know, brought to be put under some kind of, you know, utensil, however way you want to put it, or on a bed, and not be sit on a candlestick? Okay, for there is nothing hid. So So what is the council now? We stay in the context for a minute. Why would he jump from there and start talking about a council? He said to them, is a cattle brought forth, is a cattle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? You ask the question, okay, is a cattle, you know, you don't hide a candle underneath the bed and underneath things and stuff like that. Then he said in verse 22, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Oh, they throw those two verses in there. Yeah. It's all about the word. So you stay within that same meaning, and you keep rat, or we keep rat on rolling with it to understand, okay, why would he bring a candle in? And he said unto them, is the word brought to be put on the bushel? Or under the bed? Is the word meant to be kept hidden? Okay? Put on a bed and not to be sit on a candlestick, let your light so shine. What we manifesting? The thoughts of the Most High. Let that candle sit on. Don't put that on the bed. Then he said, for there is nothing here which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. You stay in the same meaning. There are things, there are mysteries, but you talk about the mystery of the kingdom. It will be revealed. The disciples come to him and say, okay, what does all that mean? What do these parables mean? To you it's given to know. It's hidden, but it won't be hidden to you know, it's meant to be revealed. To you it's given to know. There is nothing hid which shall not be manifested. Neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. Okay? The word abroad means known. Now, he says, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Okay? Now, verse 24 now, because this is where I really want to be. It said, he said unto them, take heed that ye hear. With what measure? Now we're starting to understand the measure. Take heed what ye hear. Okay? Take heed what ye hear. Verse 24. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given. Now, what does this talk about in reference to hearing? When he mentions verse 4, he's talking about hearing. What is it that we should be hearing?
What should we be hearing?
Yeah. What is it that he's referring to that we should be hearing? Let me change that. What is it that we should be hearing in verse 24? When he says, take heed that you hear, what is he referring to?
The word.
He said, take heed what ye hear. Attend to. Don't just hear any word. Child, I went to church today. I put on TV and I just listen. Take heed what you hear. Take heed what ye hear. Perceive what ye hear. In other words, have perception concerning what you hear. Huh?
Understand what we're hearing.
Perceive. Have perception. Yeah, it deals with the same lesson about which we dealt with in Matthew 13 in the early portion of 4. He says perception and understanding. So when he said take heed, he said have perception. So that perception, that's why I mentioned, you know, TBN or something like that, because, you know, back in the day I used to listen to one after another. You know, I just listen to different preachers and stuff like that, and now my level of understanding is, I take heed what I hear. I perceive. I don't care if it's sounding good. I'm looking for perception. Yeah, it sounded good, but there is no depth to it. So, you know, I perceive there's nothing being said. Okay, so take heed what ye hear. Perceive what ye hear. Okay, with what measure ye meet. What is the meat now in reference to? Verse 24, with what measure ye meet. What is that referring to? Let's go back. Wait a minute, Harry. Verse 24, the top portion of the verse, beginning portion. And he said unto them, take heed. What is heed? What is heed again? What did I say it was? You remember? Perception. How are you going to take heed if you don't know what it is? Perception. So take heed what ye hear. Perceive what ye hear. Okay, perceive what ye hear. Why? With what measure ye meet. So that meet is in reference to what? Huh? Perception. They look at it now, verse 24. And he said to them, take heed what ye hear. Have perception. We know it's in reference to the word when we talk about here. He said, perceive what you hear, though. Because the measure by which you hear it is going to be measured back to you. If I have full understanding, guess what's coming back to me? That's going to be the measure that. See? So take heed now. Take heed what ye hear, for what measure ye meet. That meet is measure. That M-E-T-E, that's measure. So what measure ye measure will be measured back to you. What measurement of a perception that is given out to hear it, it comes back. Okay. It shall be measured to you. Verse 24 again, and he said unto them, proceed, take heed means proceed. Perceive what ye hear. Okay, perceive what ye hear. Perceive what you understand. Okay? With what measure, okay, with what measure ye measure, it shall be measured to you. What measure we measure, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear, understand, shall more be given. So when you look at it from that standpoint, it's like what I hear, that's a measurement for something else to come. What I perceive positions me to receive more. Y'all said, okay, how do some understand the scripture more than others? It is because they perceive, and what they perceive, it now is given back to them according to the level by which they're perceiving. It measures back. So I use this as example. So if I come to training school and all I do is daydream, guess what's coming to me? What I measure. So all I did was daydream, didn't nothing come in, I didn't hear anything, so that means nothing comes back to me. So best way to explain it, it's like my perception didn't go out anywhere, so nothing comes back in. That's a good way to put it. When you're driving down the road, And you see this object. I'm gonna use the object again when I ran over the object. When I was riding down the road and I saw this object in the road and I didn't perceive it, because I didn't perceive it, it didn't come back to me what it was.
Talking to me?
Huh?
I thought you called my name.
Oh, no, no. So when you see it from that that perspective, I'm driving down the road, and I see an object in the road, but because I didn't perceive what the object was, it didn't measure back to me to know what it was. So when I perceive something, it brings me back a measure. When you perceive something, it brings you back a measure. When I'm driving down the road and I see a wrench in the road and I'm able to identify that wrench that's in the road, then when I perceive that wrench is in the road, it comes back to me, okay, those are white flowers. Man, you see the white flowers in the middle of the road? I perceive it, it measures back to me the level of my perception. I'll give you another example. There have been times when I've been riding down the road, or I'll use this for example. You may be riding down the road, and you may see some deer cross the street, okay? And you perceive that through your perception you saw two, so only two measured back to you. But somebody else who had a keener perception said, "No, man, that was five. You didn't see them up three." So the person who only saw two, that's what came back to his perception or her perception. But the person who saw five, that's what came back to them. No, man, I saw more than you. I saw five. So my measurement of perception was higher than yours because I saw five deer, and your measurement of perception was less because you only saw two. When you take that parable now of the deer and put it in perspective as far as the scripture is concerned, the more I perceive, that the more it's going to come back to me. The more you perceive is the more that's going to come back to you. Verse 24 again. And he said unto them, "Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given." So what does the hear mean? Understand? If I now understand now, it puts me in position to have a perception to get some more of it. But if I don't understand what's being said now, don't even bother. That's why y'all now see why when we're doing lessons and we're not getting understand, I said, we're going to just stop at him. There's no reason even go for it. We got plenty of time to deal with the rest of part two or part three or whatever, because it don't do any good to jump and deal with part three and part four and there's no perception in part one. There's no reason to give no more. You know, even as far as the lesson is right now, there are some verses that I'm trying to get to, but I can't even think about those other verses unless you perceive this here. You got to perceive verse 24 and 25 for me to keep going down. Other than that, it's no good. Can't do it. Y'all with me now? Okay, now, verse 25, for he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken even that which he hath. Yeah, y'all see that now? You want to say something?
Are you going to expound upon that?
Go ahead. You jumped out.
So I have a question. So my question is, Is that the context of the fires of the air stealing that word?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if you take it and do something with it, then you're going to have more. But if you don't do nothing with it, then the word ain't even got sold to you. Somebody going to come steal that.
Exactly. So all of this is in reference from a perspective of the word. So it lets me know. You know, so I have to put it this way before you can. So I have to use parables to try to give you examples. If I had not adjusted, God, I hate telling myself like this. if I had not adjusted to this technology that you know, some was trying to, you know, convey that I need to do, if I had not adjusted to it, man, I was going to lose this computer. This computer was like, I'm dying. I can't function in 2016. I'm a 2007 baby. I can't function. And if you don't adjust, you're going to lose everything that's on me. If you don't adjust, if you don't accept the more, if you don't perceive that there are some changes that need to be made, the computer was saying we struggle every Sunday. I'm turning over. I'm shutting off on you. I'm trying to warn you that what you have, you're going to lose if you don't make adjustments to that you understand. Apply that to everything in life. Alex up and said, look here, you understand it? You just won't receive it. And if you don't receive it, one day you're going to sit down and try to teach the lesson, and the computer's going to be blank. And all I'm going to do is hold my head up and say, I can't help you. I can't help you, Rev. You lost what you had. I can't get none of this stuff off the computer because you wouldn't let me transfer it over to 2016 technology. You're still in 2007. With that parable in mind, it is the same way as each one of us as far as the word is concerned. If we don't adjust and grow and understand, receive, and bring forth fruit of what we are teaching and learning and understand, then guess what? Even that we understand, it's going to come a day we'll be like, what's going to do on 316, son? I can't remember. We have to, y'all. We have to hear and receive, hear, understand. We have to understand it. We have to receive it. And we have to bring forth what we understand. If don't, these different things going to be happening to us in life. Okay, verse 25, again, you had anything else? Okay, verse 25, For he that hath, to him shall be given. We know it's the word. And he that hath not from him shall be taken away. What is the hath not? It don't mean that it's not there. Not activating, not receiving, not having an understanding, not having an understanding from a perspective of receiving to bring forth. Okay. Even that shall be taken, even that he had. That was the example I use it for, you know, this computer that's directly broke on me in the day now. So, verse 26, and he said, so is the kingdom of Yah, as if a man should cast seed in the ground. He uses an example and said, the kingdom of Yah is like this. If a man should cast seed in the ground, we know in verse 14, that's the word, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring up and grow. He knoweth not how. I can't tell you how I got to be where I am in understanding. But I know that once that word continues to get in me and get in you and you receive it, you understand it, you receive it, and you bring forth, you're going to look up, boy, you're going to become something great. And when you look up, you're going to be like, man, I can't expect, man, that's, ain't that lawn, man? How do you understand the stuff that he do? Let's use an example. Verse 27, it should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how, for the earth bring forth fruit of herself. First the blade and the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. You know, I kind of see that from the perspective of 36 and 100 fold. Don't be thinking about bringing the full stalk together unless you first of all start bringing in some blades. Some ear. You know? That's why we're going to be very different once we go into our building it's going to be a lot of teaching going on. It's going to be some 30-fold teaching going on, some 60-fold level teaching going on, and some 100-fold level teaching going on. You know, and everybody's just not going to be just, you know, we just coming to church. No, we're about understanding. So if a person is not able to understand the deep things of Yah, then we're going to get into some classes whereby we can understand some stuff till we come up. I mean, if we got to graduate from first grade all the way up to 12th grade and go off to college and all that for another 4 years or whatever, then surely we ought to be that disciplined about understanding the words of the kingdom. See, you got folks in 12th grade class that still should be in the first grade class. We're going to be dealing with things from that perspective. You know. Now, verse 29, but when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he put it in the sickle because the harvest is come. You know, the harvest is going to Matthew 13 is the end of the world. And the harvester is the Messiah, Son of Man. That's what we learned in Matthew 13. Okay? Okay, then it's 12 minutes after. Give me about 5 minutes and then we'll stop. Verse 30 says, and he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of Yah? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed. So what is the word like? A grain of mustard seed. The smallest seed, one of the small. You take mustard seed and put it on the head of a pin. That's how small a mustard seed is. Sounds like a weird outside. You can take a mustard seed. So it says the word is like that. It can be the smallest, less than all the seed. Okay? It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs. We have the greatest seed on the planet, the word. The words of Yah trump any words. Your Quran, your high educations, all these different things, the words of the Most High trump understanding. It brings forth the greatest harvest. It becomes the greatest of seed. We saw it become greater than all herbs. Notice it said herbs. It didn't just say, you know, any other type of thing. You know, it's healing in there. You know, vegetables and things like that. Healthy stuff. The word is healthy. Okay? Bringing forth greater than all herb and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it, understand. As they were able to understand. He taught them everything that they were able to understand. If they didn't understand it, he stayed there until they got them. We can follow an example as far as our Savior's concerned. Us preachers need to learn this year. You know, you get a lot of preachers nowadays. Their main goal is to try to sell CDs and DVDs and whatever that. And so they're trying to get this stuff out as fast as they can. They're not caring if people understand it. It's just caring if the pocketbook is getting larger from the sales of those things and all that kind of stuff. You know. And I guarantee you, if we preachers sit down and took a self-examination of things that people understand, hey, man, you know, you probably wouldn't have a lot of bookstores and churches and you know, to sell all that stuff because there wouldn't be no need because it wouldn't be such a hard inventory. Especially if the folks don't understand it. If you notice, we don't have a large inventory because we spend time bringing about understanding.
From the right book.
So you got these other entities that have libraries of information. They don't care about understanding. They're trying to make a statement. But it's so important to bring about understanding. When you look at our library over years, not large at all, got a few cases bumped all about bringing forth understanding. Okay. Any questions, Tommy? I'm going to go ahead and stop here. We good? Okay. So now when you from this parable now, when you start to read lessons and you hear things, that, for instance, Galatians 6 and 7 and through 9 and stuff like that, we'll be able to keep those books in the proper perspective. And I'll give you an example. I'm trying to close y'all on this. I'll give you an example. So when you look at Galatians 6 and 7, when it says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap." You look at the verse before that, it says, "Let him that is taught in the word." So they ain't talking about I slap Tanya and she going to slap me back. I'm going to get the same what that's referring to. Everything has to be, when it comes to talking about sowing and reaping, from the perspective of the kingdom, it has to be word-based. Okay. Verse 6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. Yah is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap." That is also a reference to the word. "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. For he that soweth to his mental disposition." So it does have a perspective, but the issue that he's implying is that we should be able to sow and communicate from a perspective of being a partaker to share in the word. Because if we don't share in the word, then we become the adversary. And so everything is fleshly or carnal. So now from this perspective, anytime you go look at scriptures and you start dealing with sowing and reaping, see if you can find that word somewhere associated in that thorn and reaping path. Most times, that's probably, I'm pretty sure that's probably what you're going to find. Okay. Last little thing here as I read, it even goes on and says, verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well doing, but in due season we shall reap." Reap what? From what? "In due season we shall reap if we faint not." It ties right back into some other things that goes on with what we've been dealing with in Matthew 13 and Mark chapter 4. "Let us not be weary in well doing." What well doing? We're going to reap. Reap what? It's still all word based. We're going to reap a harvest if we faint not. The word faint means to relax. Don't get slack in the word. Okay. Now, as we saw with the foundation of that, we can now use some other examples to show that there are sowing and reaping that will take place. What we saw with the foundation, which is the word. It's always word first. The primary. Okay? Now I'm finished. We good? No questions? No comments? Okay? All right, that was Galatians 6, 7 through 9 that we dealt with. Okay. Father, y'all, we bless your name on tonight. We thank you for revealing to us the mysteries of your word. We just always seek to understand and to walk in the manifestation of your word, your being the light to show the luminousness that you've made available for us to operate in. And we praise you for that. In the name of your Yahushua, we do pray. Amen. Y'all remember worship Yah in spirit and in truth. Do this.
Good night.
Oh, good night.